Hey folks, it's me, Steven, and yeah, I know I said I'd be back this week, but here's the thing. I ended up with two more fantastic guest-hosted episodes, and I just couldn't not share them with you, so I've extended my break just one more week, and I'll be back behind the mic next week. But guess what? I haven't been entirely idle during my time off. See, I've already recorded next week's episode, and it's all about the first trade collection from a book I fell in love with 15 years ago, and I've made the episode available for the fine folks over on my Patreon today, a full week in advance. And frankly, that's the goal going forward. All episodes of Just Another Fanboy will be released a week ahead of time over on the Patreon, which is going to last for as long as I can keep it up. And you can join the Patreon for just $1 a month by going to patreon.com/StephenROr. All right, that's my pitch. So let's just get into today's guest hosted episode. Enjoy.
Boys and girls, your attention, please. Presenting a new exciting radio program featuring the thrilling adventures of an amazing and incredible personality.
Hello, and welcome to an all-new episode of Just Another Fanboy. I'm your host, Sean Pryor, filling in for the incredible, kind, and wonderful Stephen Orr. Once again, my name is Sean Pryor. If you have not heard of me, I am a part-time podcaster. You can hear my voice alongside Julian Lytle, Daryl Taylor, and Gil Cologne on the Culture Trapping Podcast, located on the Taylor Network and wherever podcasts are available to you. And I used to do a podcast called The Black Box. Those episodes are still a part of the HHWLOD podcasting network. And I think you can find those wherever podcasts are available to you as well. I am also an author. I write comics, graphic novels, children's books, prose, novellas, you name it. I've probably done it. And you can find a majority of my works at my website, SeanPryor.com, or on Amazon, or wherever books are sold. Now, I'm here today to talk about something that is very near and dear to me. Let's talk about, video games, or rather game collecting. Now, I will say that I can't really call myself a collector because, like, I really want to play the games that I buy. But because of my busy life, I have a full-time job on top of being a writer full-time, being a creative full-time, maintaining a relationship. Also two dogs who drive me up a wall, but I love dearly. It's difficult to make time to play video games. But a lot of things changed in the game purchasing, game collecting world when the pandemic first began. Let's rewind the clock back for a moment. So it's early 2020, and the pandemic is starting to hit America, starting to look pretty bad, and so for a lot of people were sent home to work from home, including yours truly. And so for my type of job, yes, I could do my job from home. Not really that big of an issue. Do a lot of tech support over the phone. I've done that in the past. Nah, not a big deal. I can do this. But at the same time, we were going to be home for a while. At least a year before the university that I work for wanted to put us back on campus. So I was like, maybe this is the time to finally get caught up with all the games that I've always wanted to play. But I never had time to play. And I have a bunch of older systems. Yes, I do have the Xbox, the current Xbox and whatnot. I have a PS4, but I had a bunch of older systems just sitting boxed up, ready to be taken out, connected and whatnot. So I was like, well, I have an Xbox, an original Xbox. I have an Xbox 360 and a PS2. And then finally a fully backwards compatible PS3. And I was like, man, I really want to start getting the games that I've always wanted to play for years, but just never really had the time to play. Some of those things are available digitally, but some things I like to have the actual physical disc for, because you just never know. So around this time, this is around March 2020, a lot of the gaming sites like GameStop and whatnot, this is around the time they started to blow out Xbox 360, PS3, Xbox, PS2 games. They were blowing them out like to the point where it was like, you know, buy two, get one free, get one free, or buy three, get, you know, get X amount off of more purchases and whatnot. And I was like, oh man, this is a fantastic time for me then. So I can pick up like Jet Li, Rise to Honor, or I can pick up a copy of, you know, some old sports games, or I could pick up a copy of, you know, the Burnout series, you know, whether it be Burnout, Burnout 2, Burnout 3, Burnout Dominator, all that stuff, right? And so I was able to get like a slew of games very inexpensively. Okay. Cause like I said, pandemic had just started. Now, fast forward two months into the pandemic, like all the retro gaming prices, because technically those systems, your PlayStation 1, PlayStation 2, PlayStation 3, Xbox, Xbox 360, like stuff like that, were considered now retro. 2 months into the pandemic, prices started to go up. And not just like your old stuff, like your Atari 2600, your and things of that nature, NES and things like that. No, like all of it went up. Like it's because like all the stuff was classified under retro. So from like the Atari 2600 all the way through to the PS3, that's all considered retro. And all those prices just started to go up across the board. And I considered myself lucky for some of the games that I got from like March to April. And then like I still had some games that like I didn't want. So like I bundled them up and I sold them to a website, eStarland, because that's where I also get some games too. I sold them to eStarland, got a bunch of credit, got a bunch of games I wanted, including bad games, because I do love a terrible video game every now and then. Here's a perfect example. Have you ever played Bad Boys, based off the movie franchise? It's available for PS2 and I want to say possibly Xbox. It's horrible. It's really bad, but I love it. We all have our favorite awful video games. And if you have one, you know, shoot a tweet to Steven and let him know what type of terrible video games that you like to play all the time. Anyway, so as I was saying, like all this stuff got put under retro. And like I sold some more games to eStarland, got a bunch of credit, got a bunch of games that I wanted. And I was like, okay, cool, this is great. I can start setting my systems, da-da-da-da-da, you know. But, like, there were certain games that I really wanted, and I noticed that, like, the prices on them shut up exponentially. Here's a perfect example. And a lot of this is, like, you know, was accelerated due to the GameStops of the world blowing out, you know, Nintendo Wii, Xbox 360, PS3, PS, like, just blowing that stuff out, Xbox stuff, just blowing it all out. So now the market is just like, hey, we can't find this stuff. So guess what? Whoever's got it, we're marking it up. I'm a big fan of the Def Jam Fight for New York game. Okay. There's two Def Jam fighting games. There's Def Jam Fight for New York and there's Def Jam Vendetta. Okay. We do not count Def Jam Icon under the fighting series, although it has some really cool fighting techniques. It is not a good game. It is garbage, as the children might say. And we do not count that game at all. It was not designed by the people who did the first two, which were really good and very entertaining. But I was like, man, I really want to play Def Jam Fight for New York. I was like, let me start looking for it. So, like, I'm just going online, checking all the shops. Like, I'm not checking the eBays of the world. I'm not checking the Mercaris of the world and things like that. I'm literally just going to, like, game shops online. The average price, pre-pandemic, the average price for Def Jam Fight for New York was maybe $75. It was up to $150. By May of 2020, it was up to $150 complete. That means the game, the manual, and a clean disc. Didn't matter if it was PS2 or Xbox. Minimum price on that joint was $150. Vendetta shot up from like $20 to about anywhere between $35 to $70, depending on where you tried to cop it. And I just really just wanted to play these games. And I know some people say, well, you know, you could probably, you know, find an ISO from somewhere and just download it into an emulator. That's cool. But sometimes I don't have the time to do all that. So sometimes I just want the physical disc so I can pop it in the system. And because I got like a nice pound cable, HD pound cable connected to my Xbox. So I get stuff in HD, whether it be in 480, 720 or 1080i, depending on the game. And it looks nice on an HD screen. Great. So I was just like, well, maybe it is time for me to go look on eBay for a copy of Def Jam Fight for New York. So what I had to do, because I wasn't sure as hell paying $150 for a video game. Are you mad? I am. No, I don't have money to throw away. Now, granted, a lot of people had money to throw away during the pandemic. Sure as hell wasn't me. And I'm pretty sure probably wasn't a lot of y'all either. But if you think I'm going to spend $150 on a game, let me tell you something. That shit ain't happening. Anyway, so I went to eBay and I saw a copy of Def Jam Fight for New York. It was just the disc. The disc was clean. Person was selling it for like $45. I said, okay, all right, I'll buy the disc. $45, great. So I said, well, maybe somebody is selling, because you know, eBay, they sell everything under the sun. And I said, well, maybe somebody's got a copy of the case with the manual. And lo and behold, somebody did. For $25. Clean. Okay. Buy it now. Bought it. So I got a complete copy of Def Jam Fight for New York for $60. Oh no, 70. Yeah, 70, but yeah, 45 plus 25, 70. Math. Okay. So I got it for $70. That's reasonable. That's fine. I later found a copy of Def Jam Vendetta at a local video game store, reseller. About 3 months later, for $35, clean. Great. Fantastic. Because I'm not trying to pay ridiculous ass prices for video games, bro. Plus, this is also media, and like, depending on how you take care of your media, a lot of your discs may not last longer than 20-something, 30-something years anyway. So, there was another game I wanted. I'm a big fan of like playing like, you know, what used to be the NCAA sports series, whether it be basketball, baseball, or football. But I was a big fan of playing the NCAA football game, especially when you had modders come in with like data sets that you could drop into the game so you could have current rosters and stuff like that. It's really cool. Well, the last known NCAA football game before NCAA shut it down was NCAA College Football 14. Okay. The last basketball one. For EA was NCAA Basketball 2010, and for 2K Sports, I want to say it was 2K College Basketball 2K8. Okay, so I was like, I want a copy of NCAA Football 14. Now, for years, even though that was like the final game, that game was super cheap because like sports games are just normally cheap. Okay, so for years, like say for instance 2016, could have bought a copy for like $10. 2017, maybe 15. In 2018, I could have bought it for like, you know, around 15, 20 bucks. So you see what I'm saying? Now, you get to like 2020, pandemic first starts. It's like, it's probably like around $50 at the time. When we were immersed deeply into the pandemic, now granted, we're still in the pandemic, but when we were immersed deeply into it in 2020, the average price for NCAA 14 for Xbox 360 was $150. Again, I'm not paying anywhere between $150 to $200 for a video game, fam. I'm not doing that. I'm not. And then you would start to see also games that literally had like a small print run or didn't sell well. A lot of those games got marked up too. And so it was really ridiculous. And it also, like I said, the pandemic has accelerated so many things and also showing you all the flaws of this country. Because of how the way everything was built and how everything is truly breaking down now right in front of us. But, you know, buying video games is wild. And so, like, another perfect example is, let's say you're a Super Nintendo fan. Let's say that you enjoy playing the good old SNES. I like the SNES. I don't think their sports games were great, but, like, the shoot 'em ups were cool. Their RPGs were cool. You know, the platform games were cool. SNES is, the Super Nintendo is a fantastic system. Like that and the Sega Genesis, like toe-to-toe, like the 16-bit era was a lot of fun between the Genesis, between the Super Nintendo, between the TurboGrafx-16, aka PC Engine. You know, like those systems were really, really cool. You know, I'll even throw Atari Jaguar in there because the Atari Jaguar was not a 64-bit system. The Atari Jaguar was a 16-bit system, possibly 32-bit system, with just like with like quote unquote like high-end graphics processors. So they just lied and said it was 64. Lies. Anywho, so let's say you want to go back and you want to, like, you know, you found a Super Nintendo, you found one for dirt cheap at like a yard sale, okay? And you're like, man, I'm going to go get me some games for this. Now, you know, sometimes some games, you know, because they were, you know, massively printed, you'll be able to find very inexpensively. But let's say you're a fan of Final Fight, okay? And I'm just talking the cartridge. I'm not talking the cartridge, the box, and the instruction manual. I'm just talking about the cart. Let's say you like Final Fight. Let's say you wanted to play a copy of Final Fight 3. And you wanted that cartridge because you don't fool with emulation and you don't have time to build all that emulation stuff. And you're like, I don't want to fool with that. I just want to get this cartridge. The price of Final Fight 3 right now, y'all, is $300 loose. Just the cartridge. Not talking. I am not talking, you know, box or instruction manual. Let's say you like Mega Man and you wanted a copy of Mega Man X2. I like Mega Man X2. Like, I've played a lot of Mega Man games in my life, and I'm pretty bad at all of them, but Mega Man X2 I was pretty good at. You want a copy of Mega Man X2 right now? You're going to pay $220 for that. You want a copy of Mega Man X3? Loose. Once again, loose. No instruction manual, no box. Loose. $335.12. Okay? Let's say you want a game like Metal Warriors, and I remember playing this game ages ago. Loved it. You want to play Metal Warriors right now? Just the disc alone, not disc cartridge, just the cartridge alone, $400. You want to play Wild Guns? Cartridge, just the cartridge, $500. You want to play Earthbound, one of the greatest RPGs in the history of Super Nintendo? Cartridge alone, $330. You want to play, like, say, for instance, Castlevania Dracula X, $330. Super Turrican 2, $330. Or let's say, for instance, you remember I'm not a fan of Ren and Stimpy. I always thought Ren and Stimpy was trash, but that's just me. But I know there's a lot of people that like the games too. You want to play Ren and Stimpy, the Ren and Stimpy show, Buckaroos? You want to pay $225? My favorite cartoon of all time, and this is one cool thing about the Super Nintendo, like they always had tons of games based off of licensed properties, and a lot of them were pretty good. You know? SWAT Cats, one of my favorite cartoons of all time. You want to play that for you want that cartridge? Cough up $200. Artie Lightfoot, one of the wackest game mascots of all time, $200. You know, so like the prices are ridiculous, like absolutely ridiculous. Now, say for instance, like, you know, like if you want to get games cheaply, you're looking at anywhere between a couple of dollars to up to $30 for like your average game. If you want to play Lion King and get jacked up on some of those levels, yeah, $12. Okay, see, that's fine. Bubsy. I remember Bubsy. Bubsy, $12. You know, Yoshi's Safari, $12. See, like, that sounds affordable. That sounds reasonable. You know what I mean? One of my favorite baseball games, Ken Griffey Jr. Major League Baseball, $12. Mortal Kombat. Now, granted, remember, the SNES version does not have the blood on it. Does not have the blood code. Unlike the Genesis version, where it does have the blood code, $12, you know? So, like, there are things that, like, are sensibly priced, but, like, a lot of the games that I love are so massively expensive. So, I understand why people do a lot of emulation now. Because this stuff is out of control, and not everything is available digitally for sale through these game stores, you know, whether you're on, like, the Switch game store, or the, you know, PlayStation game store, or Xbox game store. Like, a lot of those places have Game Pass, but those are for current games, not old school games. Now, granted, I know PlayStation Plus just changed up their whole system, and there are a few games, depending on what level you're paying for, that'll allow you to play some PS3, some PS2, and some PS1 games. I don't know which ones yet because I don't have that tier, and I'm kind of scared to give up that bread for that, and I get janky stuff. So take a moment and, like, if you, like, there's an old school, like, because I guess you can consider this stuff old school now, but if there's a retro system that you really like, go look up prices for some of the games. Because it is absolutely wild right now. And it, like, I'm trying to make sense of it, but it just doesn't make sense. And a lot of it is due to the fact that, like, a lot of us were stuck at home, but there were a lot of people, though, that started spending money on things that they wanted. Combined with the fact that, like, a lot of these game stores started to blow out stuff that they felt was, you know, previous generation. And you put those two things together, because then, like, now people can't find stuff as easy and make stuff harder to find. And lo and behold, poof, everything goes up in price. And like I said, like, I've had to find many different ways to find games, whether I'm going to a flea market, a yard sale, sometimes like hopping on a Goodwill website, like all different types of ways to find games inexpensively that I want to play, you know. But I just wanted to talk about how retro game collecting or game purchasing, because like I said, I'm not a collector. I like to play into games. I just don't like them sitting on shelves collecting dust. I just don't get the time I would like to play. But I wonder if any of y'all, you know, are into gaming and, like, are trying to get, like, you know, these types of games and stuff like that. What's your journey look like, you know, since the pandemic started? You know, has it been difficult for you to find the games that you wanted? Have you had to pay absurd prices for the games that you want? Or did you just go the emulation route and call it a day? But I hope you enjoyed this podcast. Thank you for listening to me ramble. Once again, I want to thank Stephen Orr for allowing me to be a guest host for his show. Please take good care of yourselves. Give yourself the space and grace that you deserve. Love yourself and stay close to your loved ones and take good care of them too. All right, now. Peace.
Bye-bye, Daddy.
Bye-bye, Daddy.
Good job.
What does innovation sound like? It sounds like the luxury of being in the moment with your customer, client, or patient. It sounds like having the right information right when you need it. It sounds like being at your best for your customers and your business. Thanks to Hyland's intelligent content solutions that improve digital processes, innovators everywhere are able to do their thing better, whatever that thing is. Now, who doesn't like the sound of that? Hyland, for innovators everywhere, visit hyland.com.